Let us prepare for our scripture reading, which comes from Luke 9 today. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have their holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God."
All right, before we begin today's message, let's pray. Lord God, may you, as we study your word today, may you renew our understanding of following Jesus. Father God, as we come before you and humble ourselves, may you stretch us, challenge us, remind us what it means to truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would soften our hearts. God, give me the wisdom and the grace to speak your word in a way that is pleasing to you. I pray that today, on this holy day, that you would be, God, our sole focus, the reason we gather, the reason we're here. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So one of the things I enjoy about our worship service is when the children are dismissed, and I watch them all go out, and you see so much in their postures. Some of them are running out with just joy, you know, with excitement. Some of them are very sheepish. They're kind of like hunched over and they're like, "I don't know." Some of them are looking back like, "Mom, Dad, don't leave me. Where am I going?" You know? And I was thinking, you know, often when we're following Jesus, we have all those postures in our life, don't we? Sometimes we're running with joy following after Jesus. We're really excited. Sometimes we have our shoulders hunched over like, "I don't know. And like, I don't know about this." Some of us look back, "Where am I going? Help." And that's what I want to talk about today, about following Jesus. And it's interesting, in like our different phases of life, I don't know, some of you have maybe been Christian for a long time, maybe some of you for a short time. We all go through different understandings of our relationship with God. But today, I want to just sit you down and say, how is your walk with God? How is your journey with God? How are you following Christ? How is your heart for him? And as we move into the season of Lent, starting next week, that's exactly what we're going to be doing for the next 40 days, to be kind of examining our hearts, thinking about, where are you in your walk with Christ? You know, are you running with joy? Are you kind of holding back? Are you sort of dragging your feet a bit? And this is sort of the time where we kind of go through God's gymnasium, if you will, and we kind of assess. And a lot of that we're doing in our discipleship group during the week, and I'm really enjoying these times. We're really kind of asking the sometimes hard questions, like, what does it mean to seek after God? What does it mean to really follow him? And where we are in the book of Luke, the reading that we read today, there's this kind of tension in Jesus' ministry. You see, he's done a lot of miracles. People are really excited, you know? When Jesus is fun, everyone wants to join in, don't they? Like all the multitudes. When you come to church and it's exciting. When you come and the Bible studies are very engaging. And everyone just wants to jump on. Everyone wants to get like that touch of God. But it's at this point where Jesus is getting a little cautious. He's kind of challenging the crowds. He's saying like, "Are you sure you want to get into this?" And that's kind of strange. I'm thinking if I'm a public speaker, I want as much PR as possible. I want like posters of me. I want me on the internet. I want me on YouTube. I want everyone to love me. I want people to show like how exciting I am. But here's Jesus kind of slowing people down. He's saying like, "Are you sure?" Because let me tell you, walking with me has some challenges. And I want to talk about three challenges of following Jesus today. And I think these three challenges, I mean, there are many, but I want to focus on three that come up in this passage here. You see, there's a very, you know, verse 57 says, as they were all walking along the road, there were three men beside Jesus, and they all had something to say. And I think what each one says kind of represents a challenge that we have following Jesus. And for today, I don't want you to feel like you have to memorize all 3 points and think about how everything relates to you. I'm sure it does. But I want to challenge you, as you're listening to this message today, to pray and say, like, God, what of these 3 points is really kind of driving home to me that it's something that I need to address in my relationship with you? Okay? And the first one I want to address is in verse 58. Well, actually, it starts, a man says to Jesus, he says, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. He sounds very excited. And Jesus doesn't say, well, that's great, follow me. He says, he challenges him. He says, do you know that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head? And the first challenge to following Jesus is our want for individual security. And this is what I want to talk about for the first part. What makes it hard following Jesus? I think the first one is that it threatens our individual security. You see, Jesus is saying, a lot of us want to follow Jesus, but Jesus is saying, do you realize that even the foxes and the birds have the place to stay? They have their comfort zones. But Jesus doesn't have a place to lay his head. And does this mean that Jesus is saying that if you're going to follow him, you know, you have to live worse than foxes and birds? That's not, I don't think, what he's getting across. But Jesus is challenging us. As you follow me, are you willing to live spiritually mobile? And what do I mean by that? Are you willing to, like, let go of your familiar comfort zones? Of saying, like, God, I've kind of planted my little tent here, and if something happens that you need inside of this tent, call me up. But, you know, Jesus, if you're calling for something outside of the tent, you know, maybe you could call the other guy over there. I think he's a little closer. And, you know, this happens a lot in our spirituality, doesn't it? It's kind of like, let's just take care of my family, my friends, and that's good. But then, God, if you want me to move a little past that, I don't know. And we kind of make these boundaries. And then we also make our own little time schedules, don't we? We kind of say, like, God, I've got this job. You know, it's very 9 to 5. It's really set. I mean, you know that I can't do anything during that time. Really, God, I'm totally willing to help you, but just know my schedule, okay? I mean, come on. It's like foxes have birds, but foxes have holes and birds have nests. But Jesus doesn't have a place to stay. He's asking us, are you willing to move? Are you willing to be available, to be mobile when I call you? Sometimes even at the inopportune times. And that threatens us because we start to think, you know, in our culture today, we want to talk about security. We want to talk about finding a place for ourselves. And Jesus is challenging us to say, I want you to find a place for yourself, but the place that you have is me. Are you willing to walk where I walk? Are you willing to go where I go? And think of how difficult this is. I mean, what an obstacle it is. What a countercultural statement it is. To say, what is your hope? What is your goal in life? It's basically to go where Jesus wants me to go. And that is a challenge to our security. And that's what I wanted to address. The first challenge that Jesus has is our individual securities. And the second challenge that Jesus brings to us, he challenges our priorities. Verse 59 to 60. He said to another man, Jesus said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And then Jesus said to him, something I thought was pretty surprising and harsh, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And when I first read this, I was challenged. I was like, let the dead bury their own dead. I was a little threatened by it. What's going on here? And you know, as I was reading about this, I learned that it's not even clear if the Father has died yet. You see, I think what Jesus is trying to ask here is, what are your priorities? Will you go now, or will you wait until things finish up with your life? You know, I talk with a lot of young people, and I really encourage them, you know, serve God when you're young. You know, I know you're thinking like you're young, you don't have a lot to offer, but there's so much you can do in school. There's so much you can do in your families to serve God. Serve God when you're young. But often when I was like working with youth, they'd tell me like, well, Pastor Sam, I've got these exams coming up. Just let me kind of finish junior high school. Once I get to senior high school and I join this really good like Christian club, I'm in. Or then it gets to like, I'm in SATs, I'm doing college applications. Let me just take care of the college application first. And then once I'm in a college, I'm yours, God. Really, if you grant me this college I can get into, then you know I'm yours, really. And then you get to college and you're thinking, I need this degree first. And then when I get this degree, God, I promise, once I get that job, God, I promise, once I get married, because, you know, that's the biggest hurdle in life, isn't it? And then, you know, okay, like, God, I realize the biggest hurdle in life is actually having kids, not getting married. Okay, once I get kids, and once they grow up, because they're troubled. Have you ever had a 2-year-old, God? It's not fun, you know? And then you go, God, have you ever had a teen? That's worse. And then you're thinking, okay, look, we're just about to close this important kind of deal. We're about to get a house. We're about to get this and that. And it's amazing. My father, who's been in ministry for 30 years now, wow, that's a lot, he continues to get that. Every generation, we all have our own reasons to say, God, let me first do this, and then I will follow you. Let me first bury this, God, and then I will follow you. And what is it in our life that we want to bury first and then follow God? Is it our family? Is it our school? Is it our relationships? Let me finish this first. And it's our polite kind of spiritual way of saying, God, you know this is very important. You're all about love, aren't you? Let me first finish this up, and I'll get back to you. We know that we can't outright say to God, God, I don't want to follow you. So let me kind of just say, God, be a little patient with me, because God, you are patient and forgiving and merciful. So let me finish this first. And Jesus kind of just exposes our excuses completely. And he says, if you spend your time burying everything, let the dead bury the dead. If you keep spending your life burying things first, how are you ever going to be someone who's alive if you're always trying to take care of things first? He says, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. And that's what we sang today. Jesus is challenging us, face first, about our priorities. Many have turned away from the kingdom of God, to be honest, so that they can take care of their own business first. And the funny thing about our own business first, it never gets finished. You know, whenever I kind of say, like, God, let me do this first, and then I'll take care of it, I have never taken care of that business. It is never resolved. But Jesus wants to turn it around. He says, but if you seek first the kingdom of God, watch how everything else will be added unto you. Watch how everything else fits into place. Jesus is not saying that our priorities are bad, burying your father is bad. But he's saying if they take precedence over following Jesus, they become dead ends for us. In the end, do we want the priorities and the burdens of life to bury us Or do we want to take that one priority that gives us life? And that's Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you to think about, in my life right now, what is holding me back from following Jesus? Is it my desire to kind of have a safe place for myself? My desire for security? Or is it my battle with priorities? Something else first, and then God. And it's not that those other things are bad, but when we put in those words, and then God, it tells us something, doesn't it? Which brings me to the third challenge. Our past. Verse 61 to 62 says this, "Still another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but let me go back and say goodbye to my family.' Jesus replied, once again, very surprisingly, 'No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God.'" Ouch. Seems like he has all these zingers just lined up one after the other. And once again, we have someone who sounds very reasonable. He says, "I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family." And Jesus replies, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." And what does he mean by this? Again, is Jesus against family? It seems like Jesus is anti-family here. But I don't think that's what it's about. He's pushing at something much bigger. He's asking, will you look back, even though you've really already put your hand to the plow? And what does he mean? He's saying, when you say you're going to follow Jesus, there's this temptation, what I call kind of looking over your shoulder. We read about it in the Old Testament. We read about how God called Lot's family out of Sodom and Gomorrah and saved them. But there was this temptation for Lot's wife to look back at what there was. And as a result, she turned into a pillar of salt. And sometimes in our life, we have that temptation. This passage isn't about disobeying your parents. It's about starting something with God, and now you look back, and you regret your decision that you made. And there's two ways I think we can do this. By looking back at our past as a hindrance to following Jesus forward. And the first one is you try and look, you go forward, and then you begin to idealize the past. Have you ever done this? You begin to think, as the psalmist once did, you look back and you look at those who do not follow God. You look at those who aren't Christian, and you think their lives are so easy. They don't have to worry or struggle with the things that I do. They don't have to wake up in the morning to go to church. They don't have to study the Bible. They don't have to endure those sermons by that pastor. It just seems easier, doesn't it? Or we might say, I didn't realize it was this hard. What did I get myself into? I know many people who get into like committed relationships, you know, once the romance is challenged, we begin to kind of pause and we start to think like, this is really hard. And there's that temptation, isn't there, to just kind of look back over your shoulder. When we commit to something in church and we say like, wow, this is really hard. Maybe we should just leave it. And you know, I don't know what went into the whole process, but I was just thinking, you know, about the renovation. I mean, it's so beautiful. The outside of the church is so beautiful. And I was just thinking, like, what if we just put, like, three bricks on there? Like, man, this is a lot of work. Forget it. I mean, maybe we would have been okay, but we never would have seen what was to be finished. I remember, I've said this many times, I remember one beautiful hike I had just outside of Vancouver when I was younger. And it was brutal. And it was probably the worst hike I ever did in my life. It was so physically demanding. And what made it worse was that the scenery was terrible. Because there were these trees. And if you know Vancouver, it's raining most of the time, as it is right now with the Olympics. And you're just walking through this mist and rain and drizzle, and you're thinking, why am I doing this hike? And after miles and miles of walking, your legs are on fire. You're thinking, like, why am I doing this? And you're tempted to look back and think, hey, just let me go back to the car. You guys go ahead. I'm just going to sleep in the car, turn on the heater, and I'll be fine. And, you know, there's something about us that just wants to go back and look over our shoulder. And let me tell you, I really thought my legs were going to explode. But right around the corner, what happens, I didn't realize with all this walking, we actually went above the clouds. And it just opened up. I felt like, you know, Mozart should have been playing in the background or something, like when we came up to the top. And on top, we were basically on top of a mountain. I hadn't realized we had gone up this high. And on top of the mountain, there was a lake. I mean, and the water was so pure. It looked like no one had ever been here before. It was just the most amazing sight. And of course, I didn't bring a camera. Great. But just take my word for it. It was so beautiful. And here I am thinking as we got there, what if I had just looked back to that car in the parking lot and thought, you know what, I'm just going to huddle with a blanket in the back seat, all huddled and cramped, and thinking like, yeah, this is living. Yes, I love this car and the heater. My friends would have came back and said, Sam, why did you look back? But, you know, the car looks so good. And, you know, Jesus is kind of saying that to us. It's like we look and we go forward and we're thinking, like, I didn't realize it was so hard. Ah, it looks so good back there. And in the Old Testament, we read about the people of God, the Hebrews, who were enslaved by the Egyptians for years, brutally oppressed, just facing oppression upon oppression. And then God called them forward. Where? To the wilderness, to the desert. 40 years of walking around, and they're thinking, man, I didn't realize it was going to be this hard. I didn't realize that freedom was going to look like this. And then people began to say, man, the food was better in Egypt. Egypt was so much better. And Moses is getting upset. He's thinking, you want to go back to slavery? Yeah, but slavery had air conditioning. I don't know. And it's amazing, isn't it? It's like, there was no air conditioning. You were a slave. But we begin to idealize. If I wasn't Christian, when I wasn't Christian, I never got sick. You know, everyone was nice to me. No, they weren't. And it's amazing how we idealize the past. But God is challenging us to move forward. And the other way the past works on us, sometimes the past is such a hold over us that we spend our time grieving. Some of us maybe have had a very difficult past before coming to Christ. And the things that happened in the past have put a deep scar upon us. We have many regrets. We have many problems. We look around at our families. We look around our relationships and our work, and we lose hope. We know that our track record is not very good. And we begin to say to God, you know, God, my past gives me very strong evidence to believe that it's not going to get better in the future. God, my past tells me that we're not going to change. God, my past tells me that no matter what we do for this church, it's going to be the same, because the past tells me this. God, there's no way that you can free me from the power of this sin in my life, because I just keep falling into the same temptation over and over again. I just keep struggling with the same things, God, from the past. How can you make it different for the future? And so we begin, you know, maybe our journey with eager excitement. Yeah, this time it's going to be different. And we begin to plow the ground, and we say, God, it's going to be different. But as we put our plow to the ground, we begin to think, like, it's not reaping any fruit. It's not working. It's not working. And then we want to look back, and we think, like, why are we struggling? And Jesus is saying, people who continue to put their hand to the plow and look back, they can't serve the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is right now. It's about right now and about changing the future. If someone is always stuck in the past, You're never going to find transformation because transformation happens now, today. Today, I say to you, you know, it's hard to believe, but today, February, this Sunday in February 2010 has never happened before. We read in God's word that today is the day that the Lord has made, that this is the day of mercy, that this is the day of salvation, that this is the day, today, where God can do something new. Today is a new opportunity for things to change, for God to do something greater. Today is a day that God can give you hope and bring life to you. And maybe it's not all going to happen at once today, but you can move a step forward in the journey with Christ. But those of us who want to step backwards, we're not going to see it. And all of these challenges are kind of pressing on our life, wondering, can we follow Jesus? Many have come to Jesus very excited and saying, God, I want to follow you. But that challenge of saying, like, are you willing to let go of your securities, of your comfortable surroundings, of your boundaries, and let Jesus redraw boundaries for you? It makes us pause. Is that you today? And if that is you today, I want to encourage you to pray for trust and for faith, to believe that your God is a good God, a loving God. He's not going to just throw you into something that's difficult, way beyond your grasp, way beyond your scope. The loving God is walking with you. And as he redraws your boundaries, what he's really trying to do is saying, like, this is what real life looks like. Come out. Come follow me. Trust me. Are you struggling with all your priorities? Feeling like, I have so many things to do, God, before I follow you. God is saying to you, if that's you, he's saying to you, I've made it quite simple. You don't have to take care of everything. There's only one thing you need to take care of. And when you take care of that, watch how everything else falls into place. This world, I can assure you, has a lot of troubles, has a lot of stresses, a lot of problems, a lot of questions. But it's when we take that almost naive, almost childlike approach to saying, God, let me seek first your kingdom. And I'm just going to trust that things will work out. And time and time again, it's proven right in my life, in the lives of many faithful brothers and sisters. Or are you one who struggles, saying, you know, God, I want to move forward, but the past looks so good. It seems like it's better to stay back than to go forward. Jesus wants to say to you today, if you don't go forward, you will miss out the great vista, the great view that I have for you. And some of us maybe are saying, like, oh, the past is too difficult. The future, how can it be any different? But let me tell you, there was a time when the world was hopeless and, like, enslaved to sin and trapped. And people thought, there is no way we can save ourselves. No matter what we do, it's always the same. And one day Jesus did the amazing thing. He came to this earth and he died on the cross and said, now to you has been opened a new way to know God. God can break the powers of the past and move us forward. And so what challenge are you facing today? And I encourage you to wrestle in prayer about it. And as I say this, this is kind of a precursor to what Lent is about. Many people have a rough understanding of what Lent is, maybe sort of a superstitious thing. Is that 40 days before Easter where you just can't have fun anymore? Or is that 40 days where you just, I don't know, just say no to chocolate? Is it a 40 days where we're all just very serious? And what the 40 days are, I'm going to share about it on Wednesday if you're there. But for those of you, I know not everyone can make it. The 40 days is a time of spiritual preparation. A time to realize, you know, where are parts of my life right now that I need to be dependent on God? Where are the parts of my life that I need to turn away from the world and turn to God? It's 40 days of kind of humbling yourself so that when Easter comes around and you read about the cross, you understand more fully what God has offered to you in the cross. And not only that, more fully what God offers you with the hope of the resurrection. And so I encourage you to journey with me following Jesus, especially in the season of Lent, as sort of a spiritual checkup for all of us. How is my walk with God? Have I grown comfortable? Have I grown numb? Do I care? Where are the places where I struggle? This is the time to ask for God to create in me a clean heart, to refine my heart, to purify my heart, that my being now longs for the living God. This isn't just for the congregation. This is for all of us, myself included. I encourage you to journey with me to follow Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, in this time, will you begin to speak to us right now in the silence? Where are the places where we are being challenged to follow you? Lord God, is it in our securities, our priorities, or our past? Where are you longing to challenge us, Lord? And Lord God, in those places of challenge, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would you give us the hope to change, the faith to change, the will to change? I pray for the lasting transformation in our congregation. Lord, would you give us joy as we follow you, not fear? Would you give us a heart of love as we follow you, that it be love that pushes us on, not burden or obligation? Transform the hearts of our people, God, that we may love you as you desire. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.